It's Stream Talk Live with your host, Dean Wilson, brought to you in part by Muse.Digital, the new world leader in everything digital.
Hello, everyone. I'm your host, Dean Wilson, and I want to thank you for joining us on this first and introductory edition of Stream Talk Live. Oh, man, this is going to be a show dedicated to digital broadcasters worldwide, a show where everybody can call in, ask questions of our streaming experts. And the most important thing I believe in this show is keeping everyone updated on what is happening in the digital world and how it's going to affect the way we do things in the future. There's a lot of things coming up. We've got ASCAP and BMI that are being extremely outrageous in 2016, which is going to halfway destroy the pure play industry, which that's defined as digital broadcasters that are internet radio stations that are playing music. A lot of things to discuss, especially going into 2016. I would love to thank Muse Digital Media for sponsoring the show and giving us the opportunity to bring these things out here. Great things coming up. We've got some wonderful guests coming up here in the next few weeks and, well, in the next months, experts on everything, licensing. We hope to put ASCAP and BMI both on the spot. We're going to talk about stacking revenues for your digital media and how you can make more money so you can afford to do things that you do best. And I want to thank Doug and BBS Radio for actually bearing with us and putting this on the air on BBS Radio, one of the greatest networks in the world. I'd like to thank Tom Cavallaro from Cavallaro Media Services for joining us every show to talk about digital insights into advertising. Tom, are you with us today?
Sure am. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I want, you know, one of the big things about this industry, Tom, is that we're able to talk to the whole world. I mean, we can get to every corner of the world, including China, Japan, and everywhere else. And it's thanks to guys like Muse Digital. It's thanks to guys like BBS Radio. And I know they offer a fantastic service. And no, I don't want this show to be a big infomercial on BBS Radio by any means, or a big infomercial on what Muse Digital Media is doing. I want it to be a very informative show that people can really enjoy what's going on. And they can relate to what we're talking about, and they can grow themselves in business by what we're offering. Doug, Tom, if you don't mind just a minute, I want to get Doug on the show here because really it's important that people understand what folks like BBS Radio go through and all the nightmares. I mean, my God, you've got everything. I mean, you've got to make sure the show goes on right. You got to make sure all the files sound good. You got to make sure everybody is taken care of, and it's really a thankless job. It really is. Doug, tell us a little bit about what BBS Radio does.
Oh, hi. BBS Radio, thank you for asking. I've been at it for 10 years, and I still don't know everything we do because we always seem to be adding so many services. But what does the average person do in radio? Solve problems, fix things, and really do the best job by our host to give them a platform where they can have all the syndication tools and information tools to disperse their message. So if we can do that effectively and better than the rest of the other companies out there, we think we've done our job.
Well, let me ask you this. When you say syndication, how important is syndication of the average radio show?
Probably one of the single most important things for a radio show is the syndication of it. That's really where 99.99% of all the people I've ever known fail. In fact, I don't really know any hosts that can get out there and do the footwork, even sometimes when it's presented to them how to do that. they just fail to do that. And yet it is very, very important. It's surprising how very few hosts will actually do the footwork to get in touch with the right people to syndicate their show. And the model, of course, is still changing. You have, you know, FM, AM market to the digital market, and it really hasn't caught on here, I think, so much in where are the syndication locations, who are the players in this arena, and that still is developing.
Well, it's been developing for several years, and I remember back in the 90s when it all really started, and it started to blossom, and you guys just jumped right in there and just started doing your own thing, and it's you've watched the growth of digital media, and it went from something that was just a playtime pastime where people were on dial-up modems to where we're now into a world of high-speed internet. Even in our vehicles we can get high-speed internet, and we can listen to anything we want to listen to. So I agree with you on one aspect here, well, on several aspects, actually. I agree that it's very, very important that digital broadcasters have a syndication outlet so they can get into those automobiles. Tell us a little bit about, or a whole lot, we don't care, about what goes on in the back end of BBS Radio to make all this happen for people, because I've been talking to you now for quite a while, and my gosh, it just flabbergasts me.
It does, Tay. I work, I kid you not, banker hours. 100 hours a work week is not outrageous. In fact, there have been times I'll reach 110 hours. You get up, and you have to work. You have to prepare files. Every show has introductions, outros, advertisements that need to be developed, audio clips that they want vested into their show. So you're developing those files, and we're also making sure that their files are clean, tagged, uploaded, and there's information to those audio files so search engines can get penetrated, and that takes time. We really have a hands-on approach to every single show, whether we're live engineering their show and taking their cues and playing files when they want to, editing the mistakes afterwards, and then properly putting in information so it can get out to the rest of the world in a proper fashion. That really takes up a lot of the day for Donald and I.
Well, you know what? What it sounds like to me is you're emphasizing the personal touch. How important do you think the personal touch is in the digital industry today?
I think the personal touch is probably the most important thing there is that makes us different than any other radio network. Because how can you be professional when you're phoning into a phone service, a dial-in service, and you're saying to, let's say you have a guest like, I don't know, Ted Danson. Oh, Ted, just call into this number, and there's nobody hands-on saying, oh, now you've reached so-and-so show. There's just none of that. It's all automated. So there are systems that went to the automated side of the spectrum, and then there is us that said that's not going to fly when you're dealing with professional radio. So we really took the traditional model and brought it to the internet. We were one of the very, very first. In fact, there's only one company older than us, and they still don't know how to, I believe, mix analog and digital signals and other things that we think, we can do, and most of these other networks don't do because they still don't know how, as this industry is still evolving. In fact, it's going to evolve even faster simply because there won't be AM and FM markets into the future. They're too expensive, 8 times at least. And there's not a permanence to the information like there is on the internet. There's a permanence; it's always going to be there. It's very, very cheap, and it can really reach the entire world, not a local little market. So the phasing out of the AM and FM market, we're going to see more and more into the future, and that's exciting for us. And what we've really positioned ourselves as the first company. Not really. I mean, there was one other company before us, but to bring the traditional model to the internet with that live service touch so you do have that professionalism. And trust me, I mean, every show, if they really knew all the nuances and how to put this together, I don't see companies succeed in this industry because they're making a lot of money. They're actually, you could take a look at a name today and it'll probably be gone 3 or 4 months from now. They really don't put in the time and the effort for that professionalism, unless you want to go to the non-professional understanding. But then you have you're dealing with thousands of shows at once. You're dealing with poor communication tools at low bit rates. You're dealing with very little information attached to your files. And you're paying for this almost. I mean, our costs are as cheap as they get. There's nobody in this industry that can provide a diamond level of service at with a diamond level platinum platform at a diamond level of a copper level of costs.
So you're basically referring to a $10 million service based on a penny's worth of input, but at a $10 million platform. That's what I'm looking at.
Right. That's really what we've set out to do and crush our competition, basically by saying we can do everything you get charged for free. And the hour that you do take on our show, live radio, we're going to charge you so little nobody can beat us even there. And we're so confident of that. If you can find a better price anywhere, go for it. In fact, we make it so easy because there's no upfront fee. There's no startup costs. We do all the coding for you. You can leave whenever you want. You never have to sign an agreement with us. All of these things we make so simple. And so if you want to leave, if you can really find a better price, if you can really do it, or you can find better service, try to find somebody that'll answer your phone call, let alone having better service. Call up another network.
That is the honest God truth. We know that feeling. And I wish the Pandoras and the CBS radios of the world, no offense, Tom, the CBSs of the world would learn to go back to that personalized service. It's very, very hard to find. And I believe that if companies want to succeed, they're going to have to get back to that personalized service where you know the customer. And I know that when you get to 3,000 customers, it's hard to know everybody's name. It's not like you're in Cheers Bar where everybody knows your name.
Isn't that the truth?
It's like you've got thousands of customers, and I've experienced this, but you know who they are, you feel for them, and you provide them that personalized level of service, even though you got to ask, what's the name of your stream again? What's the name of your stream again? And there's a lot of times that I get involved in that, and I feel bad because some of these guys have been dealing with me for 10 years. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, you know, as I get older, the memory gets worse. But, hey, at least we make it happen, and we make it happen on a personalized level. And thank you guys for offering that, because we've looked all over for that kind of service. And I can go to a local radio station and I can say, I'm going to do an educational show. And the first thing they say to me is, it's $10,000 just for the studio time.
Right.
But what the heck are they charging that dude that's on satellite that they're pulling in? They're swapping time, advertising time with him, and they're not charging him for that because he's this big, well-known person. So now what we have with BBS Radio and digital media is the opportunity for anybody and everybody to have that prestige.
To have that prestige, to have that platform, to have that at a price that makes it affordable is really the key. And I honestly believe that a platform that allows people to become an authority, that allows people an opportunity to get their message out, that allows people the opportunity to connect with individuals of like mind, to start movements, to start things that wouldn't normally occur, to have a central hub location for the communication of all these people is life changing. We know it's life changing. I mean, every single one of our hosts, when they get involved with BBS Radio, they find it's an extension, an outgrowth into so many new areas. And it leads to so many contacts that it literally changes their world. There isn't a host on our network whose life has not been changed by doing radio with BBS Radio. And that's a fact.
Well, I mean, I can see it in the numbers. And the reason why I say that, ladies and gentlemen, is because Doug and I have been working together, and they are becoming part of the Muse Network. And I've been watching the numbers, and I can see. I mean, I listen to shows that I would have never listened to before. And this is the honest God's truth. I see where people that would never be put on terrestrial radio are actually making a name for themselves in the digital world. I'm seeing the downloads. I'm seeing the hits. I'm seeing the click-throughs. I'm seeing all of this, and that's all part of digital media. And that's the whole purpose of our being right now. That's the whole reason why I started in this industry in the early 90s. I was involved in installing the internet into colleges across North Carolina and bringing what we called a redneck area into the true world. And getting everybody connected, and it blossomed so large that it was unbelievable. I never imagined it would get this large. And to go into the digital world, the digital world encompasses a lot of things. It encompasses news writing. It encompasses shows such as this, shows such as what you do, Doug, for other people. It encompasses a lot of things, and it has become the way of the world. We really appreciate every single thing you do. Now, the reason why I was picking on Tom earlier is because I'll let Tom tell you who he is, or who he was and who he is now. But Tom is the Senior VP of Marketing for Muse.Digital, and he has been putting together these programs, and our advisory panel has been watching this. But Tom is from a major player and was for many years. And I think he's seen the light where he needs to come to the personal environment instead of the corporate environment. Tom, it's great to have you on the show. Introduce yourself, please, and hey, let everybody know who you are.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for having me on. Yeah, it's an exciting time for us and for the listener experience as well as the broadcaster to be able to get their message out and like Doug was saying, build those relationships. And another thing that pops into my mind is something that Doug was saying about, the personal, and you were asking the personal relationship, how important is it? I find that the digital world has become very cold. And I find digital snobbery to be a barrier for growth. And that's one of the changes. That's the only negative change that I see and that's tied to how the advertising world is changing. And that's the world that I come from. I come from a family of advertising people. There's five of us in the industry. I grew up in a household of, both parents being in the industry at executive levels. I'll skip the three-letter TV stations,
CBS, and
cable channels, but CNN. My father helped create CNN. He was number four in the company under Ted, and he was there for 14 years, and then went to MTV, CBS, Viacom, rebuilt that entire network. $300 million is last year. He retired in 2006. So I grew up in that atmosphere. I've been doing this for 30 years myself. And I've got two other siblings in the digital world as well. So, it's what we do, like Doug and you, it's our everyday life. And, we try to build those relationships and find partners that can bring a certain expertise to the table as a collective to provide superior service for our programmers, our hosts, shows. And, I find it, an amazing time for us. And, you know, the advertising aspect of it is simply incredible. The advertising world, as I was saying before, is going through a major change. And they're going from that one-on-one relationship with the advertiser to a computer screen, which is basically filling out a form, a programmatic profile of who the individual is that the advertiser wants and needs to reach based on other research that's been done. Because they don't want to waste any money. And fortunately, with our business, they don't have to. They can reach the consumer who's in the right mind to take action for a single, you know, a certain product or service. And we know that based on, you know, data that's been collected, that, you know, everybody's data is being collected here and, you know, on our habits. And that data actually is used to deliver ads on streaming radio today, as well as display and streaming video and even mobile.
Well, I'll give you an example of that, Tom. I mean, I was putting together a proposal for a television network today, and I actually went one of my favorite places to shop, and maybe I shouldn't say this because they're not an advertiser with us, but it's Tiger Direct. So I go to Tiger Direct. I look up a computer system for them, and of course, you know, I make no money on any kind of hardware. So I look up this computer system. I send them a link, and then I think you hit me up on Skype, and I went to a link that you gave me, and the banner ad at the top gave me a Tiger Direct banner ad.
Exactly.
I mean, they knew where I'd been and what I was doing. Big Brother is watching.
150 milliseconds it takes for your actions. Your, you know, you turned on the radio station, let's say. In 150 milliseconds, data has gone to three databases, come back to our ad server to deliver an individual ad to that listener based on that listener's previous habits, performance, interests. So it's about delivering, you know, ad in time to that consumer to get the best results for the advertiser and the best results for the listener, because it should be something that they're interested in, hopefully.
Well, you know, it's so sophisticated, though. I'm going to give you an example. I was on a mobile app, okay, and I was in the admin panel of the mobile apps that we control, and I told my wife, I said, you got to come here and see this, because I can tell you, I'm on my cell phone listening right now to this mobile app. I want to show you something. I said, I'm going to show you our house, and she said, what do you mean? I said, come here and check this out. Watch this. And I went into the geographic data on the Google map of all things, and I showed her a picture of our house. That's how scary it is. Yeah. I mean, they have got this so down pat that they can track you to house level. That's
one of the
things. Advertising.
Oh, yeah. So one of the things that one of the examples that I like to tell is, you know, it's 2:30 in the afternoon. We're walking down Fifth Avenue, and we both have our iPhone watches on, and it's 2:30, you know, 2:30. It's that, you know, that time of the day when you need that extra little push. And you know what? Your watch knows that at 2:30, you normally have coffee. So it sends you a little message. Hey, sexy, it's 2:30. How about some coffee? Starbucks, one block on your left. Now, the guy next to you, he's got his iPhone watch on. He's listening to the same station, but he likes Dunkin' Donuts. It's sending him the same ad, a Dunkin' Donuts ad in the same break on the same station at the same geography and telling him it's across the street. So it's so amazing that there is no waste anymore. The advertising, the broadcasters are delivering a lot of waste. Advertisers are paying for exposure to reach an audience that may or may not be able to take advantage of what it is they're offering based on geography. The bigger the broadcast signal, 50,000 watts, the bigger the advertisers you need. The small mom and pops, it's really waste, especially if they have a 3-5 mile radius of doing business. That's why the programmatic digital delivery of ads to the person, geography-wise, where they are and what they're interested in is so much superior. And then the reporting side. The reporting side is
it's amazing.
Fantastic.
It's amazing.
There's no mystery.
That's the side I'm on. I mean, I can tell you what delivered digitally and where it delivered, who it delivered to, and what country it went to. I mean, it doesn't matter. But one of the things is I remember 5 years ago, Tom, I was pitching digital advertising to large companies. And they looked at me and said, "You got to be freaking nuts. What the hell is that?" And now you got the big boys on board.
Well,
I mean,
I
come on. Pandera Bread, Papa John's Pizza. You got Pizza Hut. You got Lowe's, Home Depot, Geico, Progressive. All the big boys that laughed at me 5 years ago.
Oh.
Well, oh, my God. They're begging for it.
I was consulting, you know, at CBS. I was creating digital channels there at 40 West 57th Street Corporate. I actually took over the Howard Stern Studios. And I was predicting what was happening to our broadcast business. Now, the New York market has a station called 1010 Winds. It's been in business 50 years, just celebrated its 50th year. All news, 22 minutes, we give you the world. The major anchors, besides the 22 minutes, were, you know, giving you the time and the traffic and weather. And that anchor is no longer any value to the listener, because the listener, starting in 2010, in their new car, had a screen in it that gave you the traffic, gave you the time, and gives you an alternate route. And, you know, that was before the iPhone. So, you know, when the iPhone came in, you know, that changed everything. I was using Trio, so I knew what was coming, and I started having these conversations with CBS and said, you know, guys, we need to change this up. These anchors are no longer going to work. They're not going to hold. You know, and you start with, you know, in the broadcast side, you're looking at your market and you're saying, okay, here's the advertising dollars for the market. We know all the advertising money that's going to be spent in the New York market. What is our share? So we start seeing that the share is going down, but no, everybody else's shares are going down. It's not just us. It's everybody. Well, where, you know, there's more cars on the road than ever before. Well, where did the people go? Well, the people, you know, the baby boomers, you know, they're leaving the car every day, and it's the young kids, the millennials that are filling up these vehicles, and they're tech, you know, they're into technology, and they don't listen to broadcast. They want what they want, when they want it, and how they want it. And
that's what
digital delivers. And my daughter, she's 14, has never listened to terrestrial radio.
Really?
She is strictly digital. Again, she's into music. She plays in a band. She takes singing lessons. She's doing all kinds of these things, but it's strictly for her. You know, it's an on-demand, what she wants, when she wants it.
You know, you know, we're going to be going to break here in just a second. And when we come back, I want to make sure that we discuss a little bit more about your daughter's habits. Because this is the norm.
Uh-oh.
No, I'm serious. No, we're not going to go into other things. I'm just saying, this is the norm for kids today. And these advertisers are starting to pick up on that. And where our digital broadcasters are losing is the ability to take advantage of that and move into that world. And I believe at Muse.Digital, that's what they're trying to do, is to move into that world and move digital broadcasters into that world. I mean, this is the most amazing thing since peanut butter and jelly. And I can say that because I'm an old fart and you are too. So, so we're moving into a whole new world where we saw the vision, but we weren't
we're
able
on the verge.
To grasp
we're
that
on the
vision
verge for something
right.
huge right now.
Absolutely.
Total convergence is here.
Exactly.
It's all about bandwidth connectivity. You've got companies that have, you know, billion-dollar companies, cable industry companies, you know, multiple system operators like Optum, Cablevision, Comcast. These companies are about to lose two-thirds of their business because their only product that matters now is bandwidth.
Hold those thoughts. Hold those thoughts. Because this is Stream Talk Live. And when we come, we're going to take a quick pause. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some real good stuff.
Hey, y'all, Cedric the Entertainer here with Niecy Nash, taking a break from shooting The Soul Man to introduce you to Patience.
Hi. Hi.
Patience is a patient at St. Jude Children's Research Hospital.
Families never receive a bill from St. Jude for anything because all a family should worry about is helping their child live.
St. Jude won't give up until they end childhood cancer, sickle cell, and other deadly diseases.
Because of you, there is St. Jude.
Learn more at stjude.org.
If you slowly lost the ability to walk, what would you remember about your final steps? Victims of ALS lose the power to use their legs, hold someone close, and simply say, "I love you," before losing the ability to breathe. Most often, they remain aware and alert to the world around them as their bodies shut down and die. Join the ALS Association's Walk to Defeat ALS and help us find treatments and a cure for Lou Gehrig's disease. Find a walk near you at walktodefeatals.org.
This is the story of Daniel, who was born 2 months early. His lungs weren't ready. His heart wasn't ready. His parents could only hope that one day he would leave the hospital healthy, and they would all live happily ever after. Daniel's is just one of the more than 500,000 stories of babies born prematurely last year. You can help the March of Dimes stop premature birth and bring more babies home healthy. Learn how at marchofdimes.com. Working together for stronger, healthier babies.
The faces of IBD are everywhere. Nearly 1 in 200 Americans are suffering with the debilitating pain and constant disruption of inflammatory bowel disease. Learn more at escapethestall.com today.
If we continue to consume our natural resources at the rate we do now, by 2050, it could take three Earths to meet our needs. The Earth can't speak up when it needs help, but we can. Be the voice for those who have no voice. Visit worldwildlife.org.
It's Stream Talk Live with your host, Dean Wilson, brought to you in part by Muse.Digital, the new world leader in everything digital.
Hey, it's Stream Talk Live. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. And, you know, it's funny what people talk about when you're on break, but I'm sorry, I was supposed to plug the show's brought to you in part by Muse.Digital, and they're bringing the digital world to a new head, and I forgot to do that. I hope they don't fire me. Tom, y'all ain't going to fire me, are you?
No, we're not.
Okay, good. Man, and you wouldn't know, I'd have the VP on the line when I screwed it up. So anyhow, it's funny about the things you talk about when you're not live on the air, being ancient and everything else. And that brings me into what I wanted to discuss in this next 30 minutes, the habits of youth. And this is our first show, and it's actually was just supposed to be a promotional on what the show is going to be all about and how we're going to do things and how we're going to change the digital world. I hope everybody hears me on that one because I'm a preaching it from my pedestal. But I'm going to tell you right now, hey, amen. Do I hear an amen? Yeah,
amen.
That's
amen.
What I'm Hallelujah. Talking about. But what we've gotten into a pretty good discussion, and I think that people need to know and understand what the heck the youth of today are thinking in their brain housing groups. Got that from the Marine Corps. So, Tom, tell me a little bit about how your daughter thinks on this. She's never listened to a terrestrial radio station.
Cannot stand it.
We get
in the car and that, you know, turn it down. Can you turn that off? I don't want to listen to that. I want to hear this. Can I turn the Bluetooth on? You know, that's the world, man. And
good Lord.
She wants what she wants when she wants it. All of her friends, she's in a band. She's, she sings. She's been taking sing lessons. So she's really into music. The quality of the audio is one of her peeves. So, it's amazing. You know, it's changed so much. And I think that radio, the broadcast companies, the major players really made a mistake going back in 2008 when the world fell apart. These companies were in dire straits to get money on the books, and they laid off thousands of people. They changed how they did business. It became a cookie cutter of programming across the station, across the nation. And it really took away from that local radio feel relationship with the station and new content and who the DJs are and how they related to the market. It became this real one size fits all product, and you know, with verticals, but it still wasn't deep enough and exciting enough.
I remember back in the day, my kids are all grown and gone. Okay. And I remember back in the day when they were younger, we were in North Carolina, living in North Carolina. And, I was working at B100, and some of the most popular radio jocks in Wilmington, North Carolina, were on B100 radio, which got bought by Cumulus and changed to a country station, by the way. Me and the Glass Man, we did a great show. It was nighttime, drive time, into the nighttime, and we called ourselves the world's lowest paid babysitters. And so we knew all the hip-hop groove and all the stuff the kids listened to at that time. And I remember coming through Swansboro, North Carolina one time, and all my kids were in the car, my girls, and we were listening to the radio. They had to listen to B100, man. They had to listen to B100. And they were doing a live remote and had free CDs and everything up at the shopping center. And I said, hey, y'all want to stop and get some free CDs? We didn't win them, Dad. I said, I know the disc jock. How do you know the disc jock, Dad? I said, see, y'all are in bed when I'm on the air. I said, I know the DJ over there. We're going to stop and get you some CDs. No, he's the coolest DJ on the air. There's no way you're going to be able to get us CDs. I pulled in there, and he said, hey, reach in the van. They're all yours.
They were heroes.
Yeah.
The DJs were heroes.
Oh, yeah. And the girls were so excited. Dad, you really knew that DJ? Well, yeah, I knew that DJ. He's a good friend of mine. And today, we don't have that interaction any longer.
It's sad. Doug had touched on it early on. He was talking about, you know, the future. And, you know, having been there, I can tell you the future, I can see it clearly because I only have to look back 5 years to know what's going to happen 5 years from now. It's not looking good. It's a downward spiral. And, you know, the audience is leaving every day and, you know, they've moved on. And unfortunately, these big companies have a lot of people working for them. I think over the next 5 years, they're going to get transitioned out. I've already seen it there's a lot of consolidation going on within these companies, and they just can't figure it out. I mean, one of these companies bought a big, I don't want to name it because I have friends there, but, you know, one of the companies I had worked for bought a huge digital platform out of Europe.
Blast.fm.
$258 million.
Damn.
And they killed it. They just didn't understand the product. They didn't understand how it worked. And, you know, I look at that product today and I'm like, what is this? What does it serve? How does this, you know, how does this make sense? And it's, they've lost their way. You know, they've got deep pockets. So, you know, they're sleeping giants. They are waking up. And, but fortunately for, the way, you know, our business and, you know, our collective businesses, you know, we're already there. And the learning curve, as they say, if I can say, is a bitch. And we've gone through all of the pains to learning the curves and we paid the dues that they have yet to pay. And that's our advantage right now. And
I look at it like this, you know. Terrestrial's on its way down, but I really don't think it is because they're starting to see the light, and it's taking companies like Muse.Digital to help them go into that light. It used to be Triton, and I hate to mention names of people, but I'm telling you, when people screw stuff up, they screw stuff up, okay? And I think that what I'm seeing and what you guys are doing is the fact that there's so much attention to detail in everything that's happening. I mean, I was listening to a radio station the other day that was from one of your competitors, and the pre-roll came on when I was listening to their web player, because I love web players. You never know what I'm going to find on there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that was one of the stations in Mexico.
Yes, a station in Mexico. And I told you about this. The pre-roll audio came on and slapped me out of my chair. I am not lying to you. Slapped me out of my chair.
It was like a screwdriver in the ear.
Oh, that was it. I mean, it really was. It's kind of like I was trying out some new headsets today, and I didn't realize I had my laptop turned up on 99% audio. And I started playing a Windows Media audio file, and my stepson was sitting here, and I damn near hit the floor because I didn't realize it was that loud. So it was the same thing with that station. And what really was messed up about the whole process was, when the radio station came on, I could hardly hear it. What kind of audio quality is that? And Doug goes to the fact that, Doug, you can chime in anytime you'd like. Well, when Doug goes into that point of personalized service, people have forgotten that. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay.
That is a fact. People have forgotten that.
They're way too big.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? The American public today probably equates... Now, I know I do to some extent. I don't want to pigeonhole the rest of the world. But imagine, big equals corrupt. Why? Well, it seems like the bigger it is, the more they don't pay attention to the customer, but the bottom line. Because the only way you get big, to some degree, is by really worrying about the bottom line. That's important. But once you've reached a saturation point where you're the only monopolistic force in that market, then the service seems to take a second back seat.
And they cannibalize.
Right, they cannibalize. So I'm finding that trend, but it hasn't yet occurred in the digital age per se, in the media aspect of it, in the radio aspect of it. It will be interesting when it begins. But I do believe, ultimately, we as a society, we've gone from manufacturing to service. You know, the cultures that have really advanced, they've gone to the service spectrum of that advancement. But if we take out that service spectrum of that advancement, where are we going? Ultimately, I'd like to see more service. I do believe that technology will advance where we're going to be able to provide options and product with that service. When you said the learning curve's a bitch, it is a bitch. I don't think your average person out on the street is going to want to move into that learning curve. Now, the younger people, to some degree, are learning by playing video games a lot, and they might think that programming and learning things like this are to their advantage, and they're doing so more and more and more. But ultimately, without that service, you lose something. I think you lose something as a culture. I think you lose something as a business. I think you lose something as a government when that isn't a part of the policy. And we're never going to change. And I can feel even from your vibration that is a part of your model. And ultimately, that's going to get us to the end goal in a much more peaceful, harmonious way rather than an autocratic way where it's put upon you and then later you go, oh, I'm upset at that.
Here's the problem with the major corporate environment. They all want to be part of the BBC, the Billionaire Boys Club. They don't care about you. They don't care about me. They don't care about Tom. They don't care about squat. They care about the money. So where it comes into play is you're going to get these smaller companies in the digital world, and they better watch out because these smaller companies are going to come in, and they're going to have a heart for what they're doing. And unfortunately, I'm going to tell you something. It's the older people that are moving into – I'm 53 years old, and I'm moving into the digital world, and I'm promoting the digital world – because I understand customer service. I remember how it was back in the old days when my family was running a lumber mill. And my uncle said, buddy, let me tell you something. These customers are the most important people you'll ever talk to because they're paying your paycheck. Today, in today's time, and no offense against the younger folks at all, the way they're being raised, they're playing the digital games, but they have no sense of responsibility. They have no, you know, I don't care. I'm just going to get a paycheck, and I want this guy to pay me $65,000 a year because I can write code. I don't care if you can write code. Why don't you interact with my customers?
Yep.
And show my
truth.
Customers you give a crap. And when you can do that, I'll pay you $65,000 a year.
Well, you know, even
I mean, that's just my personal opinion.
You're not.
And you know what they say about
it's a fact. It's a fact. By the way, your personal opinion is not only right on, it's an evident fact. I mean, the larger the 0.01%, they get where they are because they service their friends, the 0.01%. But it's service to those other individuals. You can't avoid that. If you don't have that people perspective.
You're totally right, Doug. And but the industry is missing it. I got to tell you, yeah. I've seen in the last, I got to say, 6 years, I've seen 1,500 people get laid off from one company. These are all radio people and TV people that are now flocking to what we're doing. And they need the help because all these guys from the industry
were
specialists.
Cumulus was part of that. They did that with every market that they went into. I'm sorry. I point.
Yeah, well, they had to show profits. So the fastest way to do that is to lay people off. And I have all this talent out there, but there are so many great people, great talent out there for different aspects of our industry that they're lost. Where do I go? And even if they come to the digital world, their skills are limited to the one area of the business. And that's where we collectively come in and can help them with the automation side. Because let's face it, I mean, we know we can't wear every hat, although we try to. But the partnerships like with Doug and with US, these are so important for us to have our own expertise that we bring to the collective table. And then that talent comes in. They don't have to worry about all these other aspects that they didn't learn and didn't have hands on when they were at the big companies. So now they can step in, bring their production quality, their on air ability and connections for that part of their business and rely on quality services like we provide to be the backbone and support them and help them carry it further. You know, to produce the show, to plan the show, and to promote the show is, I mean, that's three hats alone.
Forget Do you know how it. I moved into this industry to start with? Is Cumulus bought the station that I worked for, and all of a sudden there was this computer in the studio next to me. And we're working, Glass and I are working our butts off. We're loading CDs. You know what I'm saying? We taking requests. I mean, we got teeny boppers calling in left and right. We're taking requests. We're playing their tunes. And one day I walk into the studio next to ours, and I look, and there's this computer. I said, what the heck is that computer? GM says, that's the new wave of radio. That's a whole station running itself.
Incredible.
And we don't need you guys. And this was a Cumulus guy telling me this. And I went, what?
I got to give you guys a plug.
Meet us again.
You guys
tell them to the advertising sales guys now. So we don't need you.
Right. We don't need you anymore.
You guys deserve the biggest plug. When I first was introduced to you and Tom, not only were you personable, likable, articulate, you were concerned. You immediately called back, addressed all my questions. Working with your team in setting up the future with BBS Radio has been a pleasure, not just because of your service and your personality, but because I think that your hearts are in the right direction, your desire to change an industry that so badly needs it is a vital aspect, I think, to the stronger growth of this industry. And personally, I like you guys. You guys do a bang-up job. We're going to move forward together. I'm excited about that. And I'd recommend you both to everyone I know. Get on board or You're going to have to catch another train. It just might not get there first.
Hey, you know what? They may have to catch the second train, because if they don't get on board our train, something's wrong, and there's a reason for that. It's because we do have passion. Tom
it's
is
an addiction. Let's face it. It's an addiction, and we all got it.
2013, I met Tom. Tom has an addiction. He does. He has a major addiction. I suggested that he go to AA or something, because his addiction radio, was so though. Strong. We really call it RA. So, you know what? He had the same compassion that I have. And when you have a compassion, and the big thing is you want to see everybody make it. You want to see no one left behind. And I learned that in the United States Marine Corps. You leave no man behind. No matter what you do, you leave no man behind. And I'm thinking, or a woman, actually, now, and I'm thinking, why in the world, in the digital world, would we leave anybody behind us? Everybody needs to move forward and do things. And then we've got issues that we're going to have to talk about in future shows, and that's the pirate radio stations. Because with the world of streaming comes all the guys that are pirating copywritten music and playing it on the air, which is the reason why ASCAP, BMI, SESAC, Sound Exchange, SOCAN Canada, none of them want to deal with us anymore. They want to make it so ridiculous in 2016 that these little guys can't make it.
Isn't that what they do? They create barriers of entry. There's so much red tape. Eventually, they try to over-normalize. They go to the opposite end of the bell curve with paperwork. And it stifles the growth of so many companies.
That is the government doing that crap.
But interesting about ASCAP, insofar, they're so far behind. I know I have to pay ASCAP directly, and I find that...
Well, I can tell you this. I know what ASCAP stands for. It stands for don't pay the artist crap, pennies, and pay all your attorneys to a bunch of bull crap. That's what ASCAP stands for. And I hope that we can challenge ASCAP to get on the line with us in future shows so they can explain to us why they are going to say, we're going to charge you per spin with the government's permission. We're going to charge you per spin to the tune of 0.007 on a listening hour. And we're going to take your rates from $45 a month to, just for our licensing, $1,500 a month. And that doesn't include BMI, who's going to follow suit.
And there's no advertising that's going to make that work. There's no calculation.
We can't make that work.
Yeah, there's no calculation that's going to make that work.
For the little guy, we can't make that work. For the big boy in the industry, we can make it work. We can make it work like a champ. But what they've done is taken away the rights of the little guys. And they've done that because of the pirate stations. The people that play music, copywritten music, and don't report any kind of royalty earnings because they're greedy. ASCAP is greedy. They want more and more and more. And I believe in what they stand for, which is supposed to be supporting the artists. But when you have all these artists branching out and forming their own record companies and releasing, look at Adele. She released a new single just 4 days ago that had over 1 million downloads. Did she have to pay ASCAP crap? No. Because they now know they can do it on their own through the digital world, and they can make it work. So you know what? I'm hoping here pretty soon that the digital world that all the terrestrials are fighting through the IAB and the NAB, they're fighting the digital world. They don't want the digital world. Oh, they released this new damn app where you can listen to an FM station on your cell phone. Who cares? Who cares?
Well, you know, the big guys are getting a blanket license.
Of course. And any terrestrial station gets a blanket license for their area. And that is, and their digital streams are grandfathered into that license.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yes. So they don't pay the fees that digital-only broadcasters pay.
And, their fees can be lessened if they have all of their stations connected in a single player.
Yeah, amazing.
I actually worked on that when I was at that three letters company, and so it's I've got a contact at ASCAP in the licensing department who I'm going to reach out to for to see if we can't get them on.
And you know that company stands for Constant BS.
Yeah. You know what's really crazy is three of us have worked for three of my family members, including myself, have worked for that company, you know, at executive levels. And, you know, it's a sad state of affairs. But, you know, it goes back to a guy who's very famous in the industry who's at Sirius, which is Mel Karmazan. And, you know, my father worked with Mel and, you know, they bumped heads. But CBS still lives with the ghost of Mel Karmazan. And this is what I had always said when I was there is, you know, it's Mel Karmazan's ghost. Like, I don't know if you remember the old Superman, you know, Great Caesar's ghost, but it's kind of like that. Mel's philosophy on the advertising side, which is my area, it was throw a steak in the room. Whoever gets it eats. And that is the philosophy, and it still lives in every aspect of that company. And it's a sad, sad way to do things, man. And you
just
know,
kill each other to get to the steak. What the heck?
Who gets eats and who don't? You stop. And that is the way it is done at these big companies. And you know, it's worked for a long time. But that time is reaching its end. As I was saying, it's all about direct connectivity now. It's the individual consumer, listener, viewer connecting directly to the content provider. No middlemen.
I see this in the military, Tom, the way we're developing it. So just now, they were talking about needing the ability to create swarms of units that work together at low cost versus building one really big, costly unit. And they're now trying to employ this understanding in the military so their objectives cost less and they can do more by working with thousands of very, you know, inexpensive units working together versus one big, let's say, aircraft carrier, which could be blown out of the water with a couple well-placed big missiles. Now, that makes me think, even in the way that we're operating at the level of a corporation and dealing with the individuals, we see that same thing being employed where we benefit that one person who gets it. And that person should be benefited. No problem. I do agree. But if you don't work with the little man and you have that swarm capable of forming or meeting an objective, I think that we lose out. And the appeal to use the one over the many, I get it, because trust me, it's who you know, it's not what you know in today's age. But into the future, with the ability to connect with the many and not being able to use that many efficiently except just for data gathering, I think we missed the point, and I think that's all going to start to change as we start to see the value of trillions of perspectives and things in motions versus one or two at the very top setting the motion. And the internet is helping to evolve that change. I just thought I'd throw that out there because what you stated was so poignant in respect to what I'm hearing today in other departments. And it's just nice to relate to.
Well, I'm going to toss something out there for you, okay? And I see what you're saying, Doug. But one of the things I want to say about it, and then I'm going to go back to my Marine Corps days. In my Marine Corps days, I had a team. That's oorah to you. I had a team of 38 people. 38 people, okay? That's my platoon, all right? So you send us to a room. You throw a steak in there, and we will figure out how to work together because we will share that steak.
Right.
Because we work as a team. We work as a team for one goal. And that's what I'm trying to instill in this industry. Not a Marine Corps philosophy. No, I'm not doing close order drill with anybody. What we're doing is trying to build a team effort amongst a lot of people to eat that steak.
Exactly.
And if there's not enough, we'll go kill a whole cow.
I love it.
And that's where the revenue stacking comes in. It's about exactly. having as many revenue streams coming in without making it a bad experience. Always thinking about the experience first, but making sure that there's enough revenue streams in, that that there's enough revenue to pay the bills for everybody to eat and to build the business into the future. And, you know, that's always what we're looking at. And where, you know, where are we, not tomorrow, but where are we 5 years from now? And marching toward that. And, you know, that's a difficult thing, but we know where we've been. And, you know, we know that it's going to change. We know the technology is going to continue moving faster and faster. We don't know what the next iPhone mechanism for delivery is going to be. But, you know, I think that, you know, keeping our finger on that pulse is our mission. And, you know, making it a good experience for the listener, making it a profitable venture for the talent, the content creator, the publisher, to be able to make a living. And that doesn't happen on its own. We can't do that alone. It's their responsibility to come to the table with great programming and that social promotion and the desire to do everything it takes to promote their content.
And Doug's offering the ground floor of that with the syndication of the programming. We were discussing it earlier today, being
so
able
important.
To submit those RSS feeds to multiple aggregators, get those out there, be able to do a pre-roll audio ad, and being able to do a post-roll audio ad in a podcast situation or in a live stream situation, being able to insert or inject commercials into those streams, and then having our websites that have multiple stacked revenue generation, things that Tom's an expert on, and that's what brings this company, our sponsor, it brings them to light, being able to use multiple stacked revenues, being able to use the programmatics, and
well,
these are,
you know,
things.
Great,
you know,
great things. One of the big things, you know, is the monetization of the listener, no matter where they are. And Doug was talking about that early on, is this is global. We all know that. But the challenge was, okay, we have these listeners in this remote country. How do we manage that? How do we benefit from that? And you know, when I was at CBS, they were actually blocking the signal from outside the U.S.
Well,
there's no way to monetize.
They didn't want to pay the royalties.
Exactly.
In streaming outside and having to expand their markets. So I believe that in y'all's case, you have 32 monetized countries now.
It's amazing. And that really, that's the magic sauce, because you can actually generate revenue from those listeners who are around the globe where you could not do that before. And this is all new. I mean, this is only 3 years old, the ability to do that, and it's ever expanding. And, you know, just the expansion you touched on earlier was, you know, into Japan and China and Asia. Those are fantastic markets. And
its markets have been untapped for a long time because we've had BS.
And I've seen so many stations who have audience that was simply unexploitable. They could not monetize that audience. It was just a waste. And now the lights are on. You know, it's a fantastic time.
Brilliant model. When I heard that you guys could advertise to segments of the audience based on where they were in the world, regardless, let's say you have an audio file and you can easily create advertisements no matter where in the world the person listens from it. You were really the first that brought that to our attention. I was shocked that was
in
able to be done.
Their native language.
Yeah. Oh, see, it's shocking. I'm really surprised.
Mm. Well, Doug, you guys are at the forefront of that ability. I mean, and that's what we see in the digital world. It's people like BBS Radio and others that have emphasized on digital media, because like you said, the days of terrestrial AM and FM are going to go away. They're not really going to go away. They're going to be there, but they're forced to move into the digital market. Now, how do they do that? They do that with services that companies like Muse.Digital provides, and they get into those markets. Do they know how to manipulate those markets? They have no clue. And that's what our whole system is trying to change, where everybody has one world order. It's the new world order of digital media. And that's what we hope to accomplish with this show here
in
on
a positive way.
In a very positive way. In a very, very positive way. I'm not talking a Ronald Reagan New World Order.
I think that was his VP. I think it was his vice president, actually.
No, that was Ronald Reagan that said that. He started that New World Order crap. So we're doing it in a positive note, and we're doing it with a compassion that could bring the whole digital world together, and people in the digital world can basically make money off of it. And I'm sure there's listeners out there, because they're on BBS radio and they're like, God, I don't even know why I'm listening to these ramblings of these idiots. But I want you to know, we really appreciate you being there. And we want you also to know that we're doing this for you guys. We want every listener's experience to be the most awesome experience in the world, because everybody gets tired of hearing those blasting pre-rolls, and they get tired of those blasting mid-roll audio files, and television stations and AM and FM stations are guilty of it as well. And one of the things that my team has built is the ability to normalize that content and make it all work together. Tom's team has been able to bring this to the world in a very nice fashion, in a very nice program. I'm more on the technical end of things, and we just work very, 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 very hard to make sure that every listener and every client is happy. And that is unheard of in this
industry. It's all about the experience. It's all about the experience.
Yes. It's called learn from your mistakes. If you can't learn from your mistakes, you're screwed, man. I'm sorry, but that's the way it works.
Hey, you know, totally. The government's the only one that doesn't have to learn from its mistakes, though.
Well, I'm sorry. Our government's the biggest idiots ever walked the face of this earth, but that's beside the point.
$19 trillion.
Yeah, no kidding.
I think they actually benefit when the mistakes occur, because, you know, if they spend their entire budget, then they can up it the next year. It's just insane when they make a mistake.
We used all the money. Can you believe it? We used all the money.
Right. What happens is instead of going into a recession, they make all this extra money. Instead of going into a recession, our government starts a war.
Yeah.
That way our economy flourishes.
Yeah,
okay.
That's the
U.S. government. That's the way it works.
That's the way it's worked for so long. It's like the only model that seems to make sense to them.
I mean, come on. We came out of a major depression with World War II, all right, because everybody could go to work then, because you had to make all the equipment to fight this war, and that's where they learned it from, fighting wars. So tell you what, right now we're supposed to be pulling people back and everything else, but as soon as we start to dip into another recession, our government will launch a war against somebody else. It may be Russia next time. You never know.
It's an information war, and everybody can be a part of the information through you, through us.
We're monetizing Russia.
Yeah, I know.
Don't fight.
Russia is a monetized country. Right. I keep sending messages to the president. Quit your bullshit. Come on. Let's all be friends.
Those advertisers are paying.
That's right.
I have friends in all those countries. Why the heck do I want to go kill them? You know? Come on, give me a break. Anyway, that's what this show is going to be all about. I promise it's going to be a lot more interesting in the future. We're going
to hear people's questions. That's what I want. I want to know what you need. Tell us what you need. Tell us how we can help you. That's what we want to do.
Exactly. And that way we can address those questions. And as an advisory panel, we can all get together. And by the way, Doug, I want you on our advisory panel. So we can all get together and we can discuss these questions and we can find a way to make it work for everyone. And exactly. That's what it's all about.
Would it be politically correct for me to say amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Stay obsessed. Stay obsessed.
Give me an amen.
That's amen.
It. I should have been a preacher. My wife always says to me, have a little patience. If I wanted patience, darn it, I would have been a doctor.
Right.
You know? I don't have patience. I want it to work now.
Yep.
So... All right, guys.
Hopefully it does.
Hey, you know, this has been a great show, and it's our introductory show. We got off on a tangent, but I tell you what, there's a lot of information out there that people need to hear, and it's things that we experience every day in the digital industry, including Doug and Don. It's just things that everybody needs to know about and how we can make this experience better. Better, mucho, mucho better.
Exactly.
My favorite word is betterer. So if we can make it betterer,
mine is dinner.
We're doing great. Dinner?
Yeah.
Mine's not so much dinner. I think mine's beer. Beer here.
There you go.
Anyhow, I think we're going to wrap this show up because we've got more great episodes coming up. And some great guests that we're trying to line up now. I know that I'll be able to get Marvin Glass on here from streamlicensing.com. I would love to challenge Kathy from ProNet Licensing because I think what she's doing is a total fluke. We've got other things, some other great experts in the field of digital media that we're inviting on the show. They're all very interested in coming on, and we're going to have more great content. Doug, thank you so much for joining us today. And like I said, I did not want to make this sound like an infomercial for anybody. I just want people to know what the real deal is.
Thank
Hopefully
you.
Hopefully they got some value.
Yes.
Thanks,
I hope
Dean,
so.
For having me on.
Yeah, thanks, Tom, for coming on. And I guess I'll see you in a couple of weeks when we do the next show.
Looking forward to it, gentlemen.
All right, folks, this has been Stream Talk Live with Dean Wilson. And they keep calling me dirty words, but that's beside the point. And we'll catch you on the next episode. You keep watching BBSRadio.com, and you'll know when we're going to be here because we want to hear from you.
Hey, y'all, Cedric the Entertainer here with Niecy Nash, taking a break from shooting The Soul Man to introduce you to Patience.
Hi.
Patience is a patient at St. Jude Children's Research Hospital.
Families never receive a bill from St. Jude for anything because all a family should worry about is helping their child live.
St. Jude won't give up until they end childhood cancer, sickle cell, and other deadly diseases.
Because of you, there is St. Jude.
Learn more at stjude.org.
If you slowly lost the ability to walk, what would you remember about your final steps? Victims of ALS lose the power to use their legs, hold someone close, and simply say, "I love you," before losing the ability to breathe. Most often, they remain aware and alert to the world around them as their bodies shut down and die. Join the ALS Association's Walk to Defeat ALS and help us find treatments and a cure for Lou Gehrig's disease. Find a walk near you at walktodefeatals.org.
This is the story of Daniel, who was born 2 months early. His lungs weren't ready. His heart wasn't ready. His parents could only hope that one day he would leave the hospital healthy, and they would all live happily ever after. Daniel's is just one of the more than 500,000 stories of babies born prematurely last year. You can help the March of Dimes stop premature birth and bring more babies home healthy. Learn how at marchofdimes.com. Working together for stronger, healthier babies.
The faces of IBD are everywhere. Nearly 1 in 200 Americans are suffering with the debilitating pain and constant disruption of inflammatory bowel disease. Learn more at escapethestall.com today.
If we continue to consume our natural resources at the rate we do now, by 2050, it could take 3 Earths to meet our needs. The Earth can't speak up when it needs help, but we can. Be the voice for those who have no voice. Visit worldwildlife.org.